Think about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land.
Dr. Martin Luther King speaking April 3rd, 1968. Within 24 hours, he would be dead, assassinated on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, April 4th, 1968. Today is the federal holiday that honors him. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Libby Rainey, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, Sharina Nadura, Tamari Astudio, Adriano Contreras, and Maria Terracena. Mike DeFilippo and Miguel Nogueira are our engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Miriam Barnard, Hugh Grand, David Prude, Vesta Godarz, and Carl Marxer. And to our camera crew, John Randolph, Karen Krogh-Meadows, Anna Osbeck, and Matt Ely. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You are tuned into listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland. Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO.FM. Today is Monday, the 17th of January, in the year 2022. I am Cecil Prescott, and I will be joined by my co-host, Celeste Carey, and we welcome you to this program this morning. Today, for those of you who have been listening to Democracy Now!, we heard a couple of speeches from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. While this is a man who every word has been analyzed in depth, I think it is also helpful to, from time to time, to look and reflect not only on the words of Martin Luther King, but also on his deeds. The last speech we heard this morning was delivered the day before he died. It has come to be known as the I've Been to the Mountaintop speech, and in it, in words that may be prescient of what his fate would be, Dr. King encouraged those who are part of the community of justice working people to continue on, that the struggle may be a long one, but we know that, according to Dr. King, the cause of justice will be ultimately victorious, and that we should not give up. His reference is to the prophet Moses, who, while leading the children of Israel out of slavery to freedom, near the end of their journey, as he approached the promised land, Moses recognized that he would not be able to participate in the place to enter into the promised land. The reference is that although I may not be able to get to the promised land, to the mountain, to our goal, the commitment from Moses and Martin King was that it isn't an individual journey, but it is a community journey, and that we are connected with those who went before us, with those who surround us, and indeed with those who follow us. And the promise and the commitment is that justice will travail ultimately. So on this day, 17th of January, when we remember and recall and recommit ourselves to the not only to the words but to the work of Dr. King, let us take time to reflect on how we as a community may participate in the creation of a better world. This morning we will have a special program, and I will let co-host Celeste Carey to share with you the introduction in a couple of minutes. We will have a discussion on an issue that was not only relevant when Dr. King was alive, but continues to be relevant today, and that is community safety, specifically policing in our community, and how and when it may be created in a way that the community and police are not on opposing sides of an issue, but how a community where those who are charged with protecting the lives and the property in the community are seen as not soldiers who are occupying, but as peacekeepers working with other parts of our society. We will talk this morning about, for those of you who are in Portland or are familiar, about the Portland Compliance Officer Community Liaison, CACOL, which has charged with independently assessing the Portland Police Bureau compliance with the U.S. Department of Justice Settlement Agreement. Our guest this morning, we're hoping to have our guest this morning, Shailene Morris, who has been working in police oversight and reform for the past 5 years. And during her time with the City of Chicago Office of Inspector General, she authored and assisted on reports published on topics such as school resource officers, supervisor reviews of body-worn camera, the collection and use of gang-related data, and the recruitment and hiring process of police officers. In her current role as Policy Director for Seattle Community Police Commission, she has been focused on police policy analysis, program management, community engagement, and involvement in police oversight and reform from the community perspective. Shailene earned her B.A. in Political Science and B.A. in Sociology from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte, and her Master's of Public Policy from Adler University in Chicago. Following our conversation with Shailene Morris, we invite you to participate by calling. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. But hold your calls until we have the opportunity to hear from Shailene Morris as she talks about her work and her vision of the work involved. Before Shailene comes on, I will turn it over to Celeste to maybe say anything else about our program this morning.
Well, thanks, Cecil. Sorry for the delay. I'm sorry also, Shailene, because I think it was a fat finger phenomena. But we do have her on the line. And this for us, and, you know, we usually are not here on the holidays because we're trying to do a little self-care and reflection. But this was an opportunity that I felt fell squarely in line with Dr. King's work. And that is working toward a more just society. And people may think it's a stretch, but it is not a stretch to look at how we can overhaul, reform, improve, rebuild the relationships between the community and the peace officers that are supposed to protect and serve. And one way to do that is by having body-worn cameras which present an impartial eye, that is yet able to reflect something that happened in a moment with the proper context. And to that end, I looked at the opportunity to promote this upcoming public forum and share the information with the listeners and ask the listeners to please share it with their circles, so that we can get a really robust turnout for the upcoming public forum. But first, let's get back to meeting our guest, Shailene Morris. Good morning, and thank you for your patience, Shailene.
No worries. Good morning. I'm Celeste. How are you?
Well, all things considered, I think we're all well. I'm not going to complain. I'm above ground, despite battling the latest affliction, you know, variant of the affliction. I feel like, you know, I'm blessed. Right. I'm not going to complain. Not at all.
Yeah.
So you're joining us from Seattle, and
I am.
You also have spent time in Chicago, where you've worked with various aspects of police and public safety efforts. So what brings you to the Pacific Northwest, and then tell us a little bit about your role with COCAL and what COCAL stands for.
So thank you for that question, and good morning to you and your listeners. Yes, I think to answer that first question of what brought me here to the Pacific Northwest, and into this work, I'll be a little broad about myself and then narrow it down. Honestly, you know, on a personal level, I just wanted to, this is always a part of the country that I've always wanted to live. It's beautiful, and wanted to kind of make a home here. But I also came primarily for the work. I am in Seattle, working in police reform and oversight in a community-centered independent city agency. And what brought me here outside of the work in Chicago was that it's community center, the work that I'm doing, and I've felt over the years, and I think a lot of ills that sometimes take place within police oversight and reform is that it's not community centered and it's not driven by the community, even though reforms are for the community. And so that was something that always kind of plagued me when I was doing the work. And so when an opportunity presented itself here in the Pacific Northwest, specifically in Seattle, I wanted to make that transition. Working here in Portland presented another opportunity to be a part of, you know, the COCAL team, the compliance and community liaison team. And one of the reasons I said yes and wanted to do this work is that, similar to Seattle, Portland experienced and went through really incredible demonstrations after the murder of George Floyd in the summer of 2020. And so as I was watching and actively a part of the work being done in Seattle, you know, Portland is a neighbor, and we were also watching what was unfolding during that time. And so here on the West Coast, the Pacific Northwest, you have two cities that are perfectly positioned and aligned, that they're similar in culture and not just geography. And some of the issues that the community has outlined and has gone through, and almost a shared experience and a shared pain that has been happening for some time, but exploded during that time period. So when I was given the great opportunity to join a team that could really speak to the compliance of a police department, are they doing what they've set out to do, what the court mandates, what the community demands, so then we pour out and say, this is happening or this is not happening. And also along the way, partner with community, partner with the city, and potentially make recommendations from those of us that are on the team that are not subject matter experts, that have somewhat an objective eye, but also are embedded in the city and the community, and can say, here are the ways you could potentially do this differently, and help to guide the community and then inform them and make sure that they're centered at the table. So that's what brings me to Portland. I've been doing this work for a while. I'm very passionate about police work. Just as a policy person, as a Black woman in the U.S., this work calls to you because it is difficult. So I'm glad to be here and really honored to be part of the COCAL team.
You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in the Columbia River Gorge, in the Willamette River Valley, 104.3, and everywhere, KBOO.FM. Cecil and I are speaking today with Shailene Morris, and she is part of an effort which oversees Department of Justice settlement agreements. And she is, although out of Seattle, working with the Portland COCAL to help put on a community forum. Now, COCAL stands for Compliance Officers / Community Liaison. And as what we are experiencing them is as an independently charged body that is assessing the police, Portland Police Bureau's compliance with the U.S. Department of Justice settlement agreement that arose out of the suit that our Portland police officers, or Portland Police Bureau rather, was guilty of undue, unnecessary rough treatment for people with mental health issues. Now, the original suit brought that as its key charge, but there were other aspects of the police treatment for people which also reflected race and seemed to also affect physical ability or disability, as well as perceived activities that you were engaged in. And for example, that might be people who were engaged in sex work. But in terms of the actual settlement agreement, it only covered mental health initially. Can you tell us a little bit how it has broadened to see the need for body cams as a key element, a key access point for our compliance with the DOJ settlement agreement?
So that is a really good and interesting question. I think what I can say to that, and to my understanding, is that this has been a call from the community and internally within the city to implement a program where hopefully there will be a capturing of actual engagements between your Portland Police Bureau officials and sworn personnel and the community that they are protecting. And so the broadening of the agreement between the city and the federal government, and having this particular, the agreement with the city and the broadening of this, is to hopefully build on those literal engagements through video and to see how well the police department is actually engaging with community. And then also an agency like COCOL, an organization of compliance officers, are able to assess on the back end as well, using this footage to see, yes, this is compliance, training is working. So those are the ways, at least for our team, that we would be able to use a program that the community has asked for, that the city is now coming into compliance with, to do this work, and how we can use it on the back end to say yes or no, things are working, or hear how things could be different. I hope that answers that question, at least the extent of how COCOL can kind of speak into that.
Yes, that helps a lot. And at this point, I do want to open our phones, because we do want people to understand this is a community forum. One of the things that has plagued the city's efforts, both in terms of the COCOL and the original dynamic, and now the new dynamic, which is the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, also known as PCEP, is that some people know that it's happening, but not enough. Some people attend, but not enough. And the whole effort of the Department of Justice is to make sure that this is a community engaged initiative, a community engaged directive. And as you had said at the very beginning, Shailene, to you, it's also very important that we get the public engaged, because if this effort of policing is to be reformed and made more relevant and made more effective as a community safety tool, it really needs to involve the community in terms of shaping that vision, shaping that dynamic. And so, to kind of jump ahead here, we're having a public forum on Sunday, January 23rd, this year, 2022, from 6 to 9 p.m. And to that end, it's to answer questions, to hear comments, to hear concerns about your thoughts for what Portland's Police Bureau and the City of Portland should have in terms of body-worn camera policy. There'll be key city stakeholders can answer questions and get your feedback and your input. And it's really important that you are able to participate, that you take advantage of this opportunity. And so we want to open the phone lines and give you a chance to speak with Shailene about what this forum is supposed to do, what it is not going to do, how you can participate, and more importantly, to figure out what your level of participation or engagement at large would be, because this is supposed to be hosted by, it's not a function of the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, but it is a team effort, I guess is the best way to say it. And so we want to make sure that all of the organizations involved are able to get as broad an outreach as they can in terms of meeting their mission. What's the phone number, Cecil?
The phone number is 503-231-8187. That's 503-231-8187. And we encourage people to call and share questions. Perhaps I can begin with a question for you and for our guests.
Uh-huh.
In terms of this, the concept of a body-worn camera is something that has many police forces have throughout the country and indeed here in the Portland region. But it's not without controversy. Among the questions in terms of body-worn camera is in terms of control. Who, you know, who will be able to look at it before it is presented to the public? What is the role of the police union? It is something that is not quite clear in terms of how it will be established and decided. What are the steps that people will decide on in terms of how it might be applied to the Portland Police Bureau?
Well, you know, I'm gonna actually defer to you for this one, Shailene, and then pick up the rear.
Sure, no, that sounds great. Thank you for that question. So, what I can say is, you know, the questions of who can view the footage that is collected throughout, you know, the shift, the course of a tour duty for an officer, what's the role of the police union? These are the exact questions that we hope people will ask at this community forum. And I say that because before in previous engagements that the city had in terms of community engagement about a body-worn camera policy and program, was the question was, should we do this, should we not do this? The question we have today, now here in 2022, is not whether or not the camera should come, but that the cameras are coming, what would you like the policy to look like as a community? How would you want the Portland Police Bureau to utilize this policy, to utilize these cameras in the day-to-day with patrol officers in particular? And so I think I just wanted to say it's really important, I think, to have that understanding for the community, is that this community forum, this process of feedback and input is vital for the city and for the department to actually hear what people want, the practice of it. Not just what we kind of want in theory, but when it's put to practice, when the policy is put together, the company that is chosen to serve Portland with the actual cameras and the storage, what should be the access? So yes, who can view, how is it stored? Is there editing access? What is the role of the police union? What is happening at the bargaining table? Those are the exact questions that at this moment I can't answer, because those are the questions we want to hear from the community, so the city and the bureau can start to draft that policy, to create that, and to also select who will be coming to the city with those, with the cameras.
Thank you for that. And then on the back end of that, I have another goal that I have in mind. Now, for full disclosure, I was pointing to the PSAP in, I believe, May it was of 2021, and now I serve as the chair of the subcommittee for racial equity, and my interest in having this forum be broadly publicized is to get as much information from as many different people and groups and cohorts in the community, because not everybody experiences an interaction with the police the same. I mean, you know, that sounds like a statement of the obvious, but sometimes people want to turn a blind eye to that. And in many ways, the camera is an unblinking eye, and it will give us some context to some of the dynamics that have really been problematic and have plagued this city and have caused the deaths of many of Portland's residents. Now, just like you said, Cecil, it's a controversial move, but what people sometimes want to forget, or maybe don't think deeply enough, or maybe don't know, is that this is probably one of the best tools, impartial tools, that human beings can come up with, because the camera, let's just be honest, it does not have a bias. It is we who inflict a bias upon whatever is recorded. And it's the closest thing we have to an an honest accounting of what happens. And when I say honest, that's not to assume, you know, intent on anybody to deceive. It's more to recognize this human fault of, well, memories are subjective. Memories are situational. Memories can be colored and changed and tainted and forgotten. And so there it is. We have something that comes closer to a measure of impartiality that you would need to render justice in a community and a human environment. So, you know, for that reason, I'm a big proponent of it, but I also recognize that for some people, it's the slippery slope, you know.
Thank you. You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO FM 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, and 104.3 in Corvallis, and everywhere else, KBOO.FM. We are talking with Shailene Morris about an upcoming forum to talk about cameras, body-worn cameras by the police in Portland. Our numbers are 503-231-8187, and we have Edie online with a question.
Yes, I'd like to find out, since all my years of research, I've not found a satisfactory answer to these questions, and I'm going to kind of run them off quickly and let you then take time for each one. What kind of policies, because to my knowledge it's never existed anywhere, can keep the cameras from breaking or losing the battery or the charge, from taking the camera off, from turning the camera off, from blocking the camera's view, raincoat, scarf, your left hand, COVID mask, other cops blocking the view, your left hand holding it while your right hand is beating or hitting someone, turning down the mic or volume, distorting the sound, preventing it from being live time, a delay, duration of saving, the digital hacking, the jamming, the police use signals interfering with cell phone and radio signals, cell tower repeaters, the cop use of...
Okay, Edie, there's a lot in to digest and to respond. So let's hear some response from Shailene and Celeste.
Yes. So, you know, she brought up some very good questions, and we'll patch you back up in a moment, Edie. But Shailene, you know, she's bringing up good questions. These are not things necessarily the policy is going to overcome. You can make a rule, but people got to follow it. So to get to the heart of her concerns, what will a policy do about this? What can be done?
I think I just want to say, Edie, thank you for the question, and then the rundown of different scenarios. I really love to hear questions like that. So this question that she's presented is exactly the kind of comment, the kind of question we are hoping to receive from community on the 23rd during the community forum, are questions like this where the city and the bureau can hear the concerns, you know, more heads are better than one. And so what I can say is that there aren't really answers that I can have, that I have to speak to those particular items. You know, there are things that she said of, you know, covering up the camera if they're wearing a scarf. And that's the kind of information, if I work for the Bureau, I'd want to hear of, okay, do we have to put in the policy along with, you know, most departments have a uniform policy on how the uniform must be worn in different weather, the different uniforms that are hosted by the Bureau and by police departments, of where the camera is placed. And usually those are housed within a policy, within a body-worn camera policy in most of your other cities and jurisdictions. So as they are running through these iterations and these drafts of the policy, it's questions like that that they can list and answer, like, okay, we'll be clear here. Does this make sense? If someone's wearing a scarf, are they ensuring that the body-worn camera is placed within on the chest or somewhere on the body and the torso, that a scarf would not get in the way, or do we place it on the scarf? So the questions that Edie has presented are not things that I can answer today, because the hope is we receive those questions and that feedback. And those that are at the forum, we will have city officials and members of PPV present. If they're not able to speak to that, they are hearing that and receiving that information, receiving those concerns. And also, what she also said were also suggestions and recommendations that hopefully they will take to heart and implement.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. We're speaking here today with Shailene Morris, and we're talking about the upcoming forum that COCO and PSEP will have for body-worn cameras. You know, I think one thing that people are curious about is that, okay, we're going to have this forum, and we hope our information will be received. Well, now, we don't have a good track record as a culture, as a society, as a species, of allowing anything that makes us look bad, you know, come to the front. And so one of the things that I want to ask in terms of people feeling that it's even worthwhile to come and share the concerns is how will we ensure that these really deep and meaningful questions actually make it to the top, that they're actually going to be considered? Will COCO have a role in making sure, not necessarily taking an adversarial, you know, position with the police, but just pushing these concerns to the fore? And how can we as the public make sure our concerns make it forth, you know, make it to the point, make it on paper, make it into the policy?
That is another really, really good question. And so a couple of answers to that. So one, the forum itself is not just as designed to be, I think they're usually referred to as like listening sessions. And I don't always like the way that is phrased, that phraseology, because it just assumes that people are listening, but not that they're taking that information, that they're thinking it through, and that they're doing something with it. And community, as we've seen here in Portland, as we've seen in other places in the country, that the community is smart. Community knows what they want, and they will tell you. And so for us just to have a listening session where we listen to everyone's concerns and then we pack it up and go home, that does no good. That is ineffective. So part of the way the forum is designed is there's two opportunities for community to speak on this particular issue and provide input and feedback. And that's coming to the forum in the beginning and, you know, us having representatives from the city and from the Bureau who can answer questions right out the gate. And to what they're able to speak to, here's what we know, here's what's going on. Then the forum being divided into smaller breakout rooms where we can, if we have this larger group, where you can have a smaller group of folks where people hopefully are comfortable asking what we can consider those stickier questions, those more controversial questions. Even if people see it as a negative question, okay, that's still feedback. That's coming from the community. We need to listen. So as the COCO team, what we're doing from that is receiving that feedback, taking notes, gathering all feedback. We are not going to say, oh, this person was really negative, they didn't really have anything to say, I'm going to leave this out. That's not our job. In any oversight, in any kind of issue area, that is never the role of overseers or people that are here for compliance like the COCO team. We are here to receive that information and to make sure it goes into the right hands. So once we have completed the forum, we will do a report write-up from the feedback that we heard. And in a report that will also be made public, that will be sent up to the people within the city that need to have that information. And then we will also post it publicly as well about the forum. So the feedback is the report that was made that we be sent up, where we will not censor or decide to take anything out from what was said from the community, but also the community in real time being able to give that feedback to those folks that are in charge and are decision makers about this coming policy.
And this forum, again, will be held this Sunday, January 23rd at 6 p.m. It will be live stream, and to get information about how to access it, go to portlandcocl.org portlandcolcl.com. That's portlandcolcl.com. All the letters are together. And speaking for Joe Public here, or Jane Public here, I'm a little bit a couple of questions. Who will be listening, as it were? Will it be city officials, police officers, police bureau? And just for clarification, thrown around CUCL and PSEF, now are these two different entities, and how do they work together or separately?
In terms of PSEP, or the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, we exist as kind of, you think it would be accurate to call it a next wave of the original CUCL, Shailene?
I might defer someone else on that, but that sounds right. I think you probably would be the expert in the room on how that has kind of come about. That sounds correct.
Okay. And then I guess I would defer to you to describe the Portland CUCL, even though you're up in Seattle. They are related. And so can you explain for our listeners how CUCL is supposed to function?
So CUCL functions as the compliance arm of oversight within Portland. So our primary job, and I think, Flesh, you spoke to this earlier, which was really great. But in terms of who CUCL is, how we came to be, and things of that nature, it serves as the compliance piece to assess the city, assess the bureau, to ensure that they are following the charges that were set forth from them from the legal agreement, the settlement agreement. That is the job of Portland CUCL, is to make those assessments in compliance.
And then the mission of the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, or PSEP, is to work with the mayor, the police commissioner, Portland Police Bureau, our very diverse community, to get information, to exchange, to share information between the police and the community, to get a really equitable and effective means of community policing, something that exceeds all of these constitutional requirements that have been overlaid coming out of the Department of Justice settlement agreement, as well as just rebuild and build relationships so that community policing is exactly that. It's a community effort. It's not perceived as a one-sided dynamic. And on a totally separate level and in a separate conversation, that community engaged policing effort can only work when we can get a diverse constituency of Portland residents involved. So kind of as a side note, as the months go out, we're going to have a few guests here on More Talk Radio to get the community involved, to get more people to attend these PSEP meetings, the subcommittee meetings, to share their concerns and their information about how we can have a better dynamic, a better communication and relationship dynamic between Portlanders and Portland Police Bureau. But that's coming in the future. Does that kind of answer your question, Cecil?
It is very helpful, so thank you so much. If you have questions for Shailene, or Celeste even, give us a call at 503-231-8187. And Shailene, you explain a little bit about the format of this forum, that there'll be time for testimonies or people to make statements, and there are also opportunity for breakout rooms, because so often there maybe so many people that it's difficult to have your words be called on and to participate in meaningful conversation. So the idea of breakout rooms, I think, is an excellent one for this forum. So Celeste, you mentioned about the need for diversity and to hear from different voices. Will people in different communities who have this policy in place, I don't know if Seattle or Gresham or Vancouver, will they be able to share about their experiences as well in terms of body-worn camera?
Well, you know, I guess you would if you have cause to be in Portland and interact and engage with Portland police. If you have had either negative or positive reactions or exchanges with them. But as a rule, this is for the Portland Police Bureau, you know. So if you're out in Gresham and you're not part of that dynamic of people who engage with Portland Police, this is more, I guess, just an opportunity for you to reflect on what works and doesn't work in your own community and maybe take it back. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, in part. But, you know, people, you know, travel back and forth. And
right.
So when you stop by a police officer mm-hmm. in Gresham, which I believe has body-worn cameras, I may be wrong, but some communities within the Portland regions have body-worn cameras. I was wondering if people who might be able to share their experiences of interaction with police with body-worn cameras and how that has been helpful or not helpful in their situations.
Well, I would think that sharing your experience would be helpful, because if it's a negative experience, you know, it's a cautionary tale. You know, it's something we can learn from and perhaps pull some elements out of that exchange and form some policy from it. If it's a positive, we want to build in whatever elements they have that being consistently positive into our policies here. So for that reason, I could see that it would be helpful. Now, I confess, I'm not in charge of any aspect of community input, but I it seems to me it would be helpful. What's your thought on that, Shailene?
I think that we live in as you know, both you and Tisa were mentioning, we live in a very mobile society. And, you know, talking to folks even in Vancouver, if they join that, I don't see why not. And the reason being exactly what was stated is that folks can live in other cities and towns, but come into Portland for work, come into Portland to go out with friends, to have a good time, to make purchases. You know, communities aren't insular, you know, people move around. So, and especially if you have folks that maybe aren't Portland based, but have had experiences before and might have some insight that they would share within the group, to help garner conversation, to help, you know, think about questions and comments that folks may have. I think that's valuable. I think we all live and work together, in this part of the country and other parts. And I would never discourage someone, living right across the way in Vancouver from saying, hey, I have an experience and I work in Portland. I'd like to talk about this. I think that would be great.
Thank you so much. And sort of as a follow-up up to that, Ray, our engineer, has noted that a number of police departments now have body-worn cameras. Is there an accepted best practices that communities have agreed on?
Wow, that's a great question. I wouldn't want to speak for other communities or not saying that the research isn't there. I think that a lot of the cameras, I'll say this from my professional opinion, doing this kind of work, is that these cameras are still relatively new. And relatively new is saying that some of your larger cities, they've been around for a few years. And so I would say best practices are important. But I think best practices can only be established after a period of time and when there has been robust feedback from those who are using the cameras and those that are also experiencing the cameras as they engage with departments. So I don't want to speak to best practices in other areas because every part of the U.S. has a different culture, a different department. And I hope that folks in Portland know what they want, know what they need, and are able to speak to that. And then we can start to form the policy that suits the culture and the community best in Portland. And hopefully the Bureau being open to making changes as they need to be made.
You're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the city, 91.9 if you're in the Columbia River Gorge and the Royal Lamet River Valley, Point South, 104.3 and on the web, www.kbo. This is Mar Talk Radio. As we wind up the show, if you have calls or you want to know how you can participate, if there's going to be a place where you can come and view it near you, I would encourage you to either call in and ask our guest, Shailene Morris, or you can find more information online, and we'll give that URL here for you to go to COCAL and visit. Please do so. The phone number is 503-231-8187. And we're here for a little bit longer, but one of the things I think is really important for people to do, because, you know, even though we're promoting the event that takes place January 23rd, the truth is we want people involved on an ongoing, future moving, you know, dynamic. This is not a one and done. And so how can people educate themselves, Shailene, so they can feel like they can ask a meaningful question and they won't be told, well, you don't know how to look at this, you don't know how to interpret this, you know, this takes an extra set of knowledge or an extra set of metrics for you to be able to understand. And so often something as simple as coming up with a strong policy is hampered because people try to hide being involved behind some arcane set of rules or knowledge or expertise. So how can people educate and inform themselves so that they can articulate their concerns in a meaningful fashion?
Thank you so much for asking that. And I'm sorry, I think I have an echo. I hope you guys can hear it. I can't on my head.
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. So aside from people digging into other policies and other cities and other jurisdictions, pulling up everything you can on the internet, and I want to encourage all of those, one of the best things I think community can do is push back when they feel comfortable, because sometimes people are not comfortable having that conversation with the city, with their police department. But like this community forum that's coming up, that's a space I encourage in the pushback. If someone from the city or from the police department responds to a question with, well, you don't really know enough about this, you know, there's not enough that we have to provide for you, you need to come with a different question,
mm-hmm.
We got a problem.
Exactly.
That is a problem, because if they're not able to answer, that's because they don't have the answer. What I want people to feel comfortable doing, empowered, is to push back from that kind of rhetoric and say, okay, well, then who can I go to better understand? And so the second thing that community can do is to uplift and empower and be a part of their community-based, community-centered oversight groups. PSEP is one of them. And so sometimes one of the charges of groups is to help disseminate information that might be really data heavy and hard to understand. Talking about, you know, making sure that data is accessible, that information is accessible to folks. So the community leaning in and saying, hey, I'm not going to accept that as an answer. What does that mean? Tell me more. You inform me. Tell me what I need to know. Where can I go? That is the job of the officials that sit in these positions, that make policies, that make these decisions. They should be able to, in an accessible and understandable and digestible way, tell you what they're doing, why they're doing, and how it's being done.
Thank
you. If that's not happening, then I would be unsure. If they know, then that's a deeper concern.
And then the dynamic is still keep pushing and don't be afraid.
Keep pushing.
Yes. You know, to that end, one of the things that we did at the last two meetings of the Racial Equity Subcommittee is look at the process by which data is collected for traffic stops and pedestrian stops, and to understand why that kind of data is collected, how it's processed, how those data points can be changed. And the idea was to kind of help educate the public and understanding what the rules of the game, so to speak, are, what the rules of engagement are, so that if you want changes or you want to know where information goes, you can understand how it's done. How, in other words, how is the sausage made? We have a couple of callers here. Let's see if we can get them in really quickly. Let's see. First, we have Sonia. Good morning.
Good morning, Celeste. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ray. And earlier, Celeste mentioned a one-sided dynamic and the role of COCOL and PSEP in kind of shifting that a little. And I want folks to think about how one-sided it is, how one side has the power to put the other in prison and the other, you know, which the other does not have. And until it's as easy for citizens to put police in jail for their misbehavior, this will be a very one-sided dynamic indeed.
Well, that is one of the reasons why we're trying to have this community forum. It's not so much so that we can punish the other, but we can hold accountable. Yes, your point is not missed at all.
Just as accountable to
the public
as residents are to the city government.
Absolutely,
nothing's going to change.
Well, I hope you will attend this public forum and bring points to bear, you know, bring out your concerns and bring out points for us to develop a policy that will help keep everybody more accountable.
Well, you know, there's really no lack of accountability for residents. Where we need to increase accountability and really make any accountability at all start to happen is on the police.
Well, yes, that's why I want you to come to this. Yes, come to this meeting. Come to this meeting.
Very good, then.
Okay.
Remind the folks when and where.
Yes, we will. Let me
get
this. Okay, thank you. Let me get this last call, and then we're going to use our last 2 minutes getting the information out. Good morning, Robbie.
Oh, good morning. Thank you all so much for having us. Thank you for doing what you're doing and, you know, trying to hold the police accountable. I really, I'm happy that you're doing that. I hope that we can create that community. I just wanted to bring up, because this doesn't ever seem to get brought up, and I'm a true believer that if we want the accountability, we have to agree on the past and history. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because Martin Luther King was assassinated by the United States government. There's more than enough information out. The King family has taken it to court. There's been people on their deathbed, much like Malcolm X. And I just wanted to say, you know, I think we need to start saying this out loud, that the United States government assassinated MLK, because otherwise, how can we have that accountability on this local scale if we don't even, you know, if this is just something we're not going to talk about?
Well, we have to take our battles where we can, and not everybody's going to pick up the same banner, you know. But for today, moment in time, we're trying to talk about how to get involved with the body-worn cameras. So I do hope you will attend that forum.
Well, actually, I'm going to the coast this weekend because it's my birthday.
Happy birthday. In that case, then I'm going to let you go, because we need to get everybody else the information with how to connect with this meeting. And thank you for your call. So first and foremost, the meeting takes place January 23rd, which is a Sunday, and you can go to this particular website to find out more information. So the event is hosted by COCAL. When you go to www.portlandcocl.com, so Portland COCAL is one word, PORTLANDCOCL.com, you'll see a web page that shows events and reports. Body Run Cameras Community Forum is there. You click on that and you will find that there's going to be a link to join the meeting. Okay. And sorry for all those folks who, you know, maybe be low tech and don't have it. Maybe you can go over to a friend or whatever and join. It will be Sunday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time until 9 p.m. So lots of time entered for people to meet and discuss. And any final information or low-tech information before we go, Shailene?
Yes, thank you. This will also be streamed, so it'll be accessible on YouTube for those who might not want to join but want to listen in. And then also for folks that may not be comfortable listening, may not be comfortable coming to this meeting and having a conversation, or tired. Tired of having these conversations. We also have a survey. It's available in 5 languages, in English, Spanish, Russian, Chinese, and Vietnamese. It is also available on the website. Please take the time to fill out the survey, give us feedback and your input. We would really appreciate that. And we hope to see you on Sunday.
Great. Well, I look forward to seeing you. I thank you so much for the generous gift of your time. And I commend you and thank you for your work, Shailene. This is
You're
your time radio.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at KBOO.FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.